afternoon, everybody. And thank you for joining me, Patricia Casey, for You Can Cook Too. Now, my recipe today is a vegetable recipe called peperonata. And you can serve it either as a side vegetable with meat, or it's great for vegetarians with some grated cheese on top and put under a grill for a few moments, or even just left for the cheese to melt into the natural heat emanating from this dish. It will serve 6 to 8 as a side dish, and as a main course for vegetarian, it will probably serve 3 to 4. It consists of an onion, red peppers, green peppers, large ripe tomatoes, not tinned, large ripe fresh tomatoes, garlic, olive oil, some fresh basil leaves if you've got them, and failing that, some dried herbs of any sort, mixed herbs or dried basil, salt, pepper, and sugar. And this recipe will go wonderfully well with the beef goulash I discussed in an earlier program for you. So you take the oil, you take about a tablespoon of olive oil, you may need more, but approximately a tablespoon, and you add garlic, and we have a clove of garlic for this, a crushed clove of garlic, and the herbs, the dried herbs. You would need about a half teaspoon of dried herbs, or about 4 or 5 fresh basil leaves torn up to the mix. And for a few seconds, you swirl them about. And then you add an onion that you've obviously peeled and sliced. And then when the onion is soft, and that'll probably take about 5 minutes, add the peppers. And you have 2 red peppers, 2 green peppers, which you've taken the seeds from and sliced. So you put the 2 red, the sliced 2 green peppers, a sliced pair of red peppers, and add them to the frying onion, garlic, and herb mix, and coat them in oil and let them continue to cook gently. You don't want this frying very vigorously because they might burn. So a medium flame or a medium heat on the electric ring. And then you add the fresh tomatoes. Now, the tomatoes will need to be peeled and chopped. And the way to peel fresh tomatoes is to take them, put a knife through them, just so as to make holes in them, or not holes, little cuts in them. And you put boiling water over them and cover them with boiling water and leave them for about 5 to 8 minutes. Alternatively, you can put them into a bowl with the boiling water over them and stick them into a microwave for a minute or so, and that will help continue the process. But when the skin is loose, and you can do that by testing it with a knife, not with your fingers, test it with a knife, and if you think it's come loose, you then run cold water over them and take the tomatoes out of the hot water. Alternatively, you can of course hang around with them in the hot water to let the hot water cool, and you can save it to make a soup because there'll be a nice tomatoey flavour from it. But whichever you do, whether you leave them in the hot water, in the boiling water to cool, or whether you run cold water over them, matters not, as long as they're cold and you can handle them. And then you take the skin off them and take the little eye out of them and chop them up and put them over the mix of peppers and onions. And you may think that you won't have enough, but if you add the tomato and season them with salt, pepper, and sugar, and cook them for about 30 minutes, gradually they will release a lot of liquid and you will have plenty. And sometimes you may find you've too much liquid, in which case you'd need to boil it off before serving it, because you don't want to serve it as a kind of a mush. So you'd boil off the liquid or pour it out. And this is a really nice dish. Make sure you add plenty of sugar, because the sugar does enhance the tomatoey flavour. It takes a slight bitterness from the herbs as well. And if you want to, you can put it in the oven instead of cooking it in a saucepan. Put it in the oven in a casserole and let it cook, and remove the lid if there's too much liquid in it as the cooking is progressing. And as I say, it's great for either meat eaters or vegetarians. And because peperonata is a dish that's thought to have originated in Rome, I want to link it to a Roman composer. You will probably know one of his pieces because it's played on the radio all the time. And the composer is Gregorio Allegri. And he was a priest, he was a singer, he was a composer, and he worked with the papal choir in the Sistine Chapel in the 1600s. He was born in 1582 and died in 1652. And he composed a piece called the Miserere in 1638. and that means have mercy on me. And it was composed for two small choirs, one which consisted of five voices singing a part, and the other four voices singing various lines and various harmonies. And it's a very short piece. It's only 12 or 14 minutes long. And even to this day, particularly at Easter time, it's performed at Easter services in churches and in halls around the place. Traditionally, it was performed in the Sistine Chapel and was only allowed during Holy Week itself. And it was forbidden by papal decree that it should be ever transcribed, and that it could only be performed during that week of the year. Such was the sacredness in which it was held. Only three copies were available for many, many years after it was composed, until a precocious Mozart intervened. He was about 14, and he was travelling in Italy with his father, and he was visiting Rome, and he went to hear the Wednesday service of Holy Week where Allegri's Miserere was sung. He went home, and later that day he transcribed it from memory. He returned to the Sistine Chapel 2 days later for the Good Friday service to make minor corrections to what he had transcribed. He was touring sometime later in Europe, and he met a British historian called Charles Burney, took the piece from him, or Mozart gave it to him, and Burney took it to London where it was published in 1771. Shortly before that, Mozart had been summoned by Pope Clement XIV to Rome. He got to hear about Mozart's transcription, and far from being angry with him, he lauded him for his musical genius and awarded him the Chivalric Order of the Golden Spur on the 4th of July 1770. Burney shortly afterwards took it from him, and it was published in London in 1771. Some 60 years later, Felix Mendelssohn got hold of it, and he transcribed a version of it, but it was sung in a key that was much higher than the original, actually a fourth higher, and in musical terms, that's a lot. Franz Liszt is also said to have transcribed it. But the ban on Allegri's Miserere was lifted. And since the ban was lifted by Pope Clement XIV, it has been one of the most popular vocal religious works ever performed, apart probably from Handel's Messiah. As a result of the Mendelssohn transcription, and it is now in that higher key that it is sung, it created the most famous musical note in history, the top C sung by a treble soloist. And this is probably the highest note found in the entire choral repertoire. So I hope that you enjoy and receive comfort and are moved indeed by Allegri's Miserere.